Noč ima svojo moč.
Pri čemer noč definiramo kot odsotnost sončne svetlobe, do katere dokaj redno prihaja zaradi vrtenja zemeljske oble zadnjih uhaha let, moč pa kot fizikalno količino, določeno kot delo opravljeno v enoti časa.
Hvala. Pogovori z znanstvenimi raziskovalkami in raziskovalci v sklopu projekta Noč ima svojo moč. Vsak petek do Evropske noči raziskovalcev 27. novembra. V evropskem projektu sodelujejo Inštitut Jožef Štefan, Kemijski inštitut, Nacionalni inštitut za biologijo, Tehniški muzej Slovenije in koordinator projekta Hiša eksperimentov.
Lep pozdrav vsem poslušalkam in poslušalcem v tokratnem petkovem intervjuju, kjer se danes pogovarjamo z dvema raziskovalcema iz Nacionalnega inštituta za biologijo, in sicer Olivero Maksimovič in Polom Rivarezom. Tokratni intervju bo potekal v angleščini, so I would like to say hello to both of you.
So I just want to start with a question for both of you. If you could explain to me a bit about your background, where do you come from? What is your scientific background and how did it come about that you started working at the National Institute for Biology in Slovenia?
So I come from Serbia and actually I have a background in food technology, so food processing and quality management. When I took my master's degree, I decided to work in a food safety laboratory in the United Kingdom. And most of my work was actually related to foodborne viruses. And I really enjoyed working there, and I especially the work related to viruses, since there is really a lot of unknowns in the field. So when I finished working there, somehow I got the opportunity to join NIB. And it was really fortunate for me because I was very keen to continue working with viruses, which I'm doing now. Except now I'm much more focused on plant viruses, especially the ones found in water sources.
I'm Paul, I'm from the Philippines. My background is in plant biotechnology and pathology. Last year, in 2019, I decided to do further studies, and after working at the University of the Philippines for almost 5 years, so I worked there as a junior faculty and researcher. And in 2019, I did a short-term research in Spain to rekindle my affair for plant viruses. During that period, I was lucky enough to have some offers for a PhD, and among them, I chose the project here in Slovenia, here at NIB, because I thought it was the most interesting among the projects. And the appeal of perfect size and green city, that is Ljubljana, was very resounding to me, and I cannot really resist. But yeah, this is the perfect size for me, and it's really a nice nature filled city. I also thought that the work done here at NIB, especially at FITO, is exactly what I am trained for, so it felt like everything were nicely orchestrated that way.
Olivera, can you give me a short description of the project you're currently working on?
Yes, so at the moment I'm working on two separate projects. One is the one directly related to the PhD, which looks into viruses in irrigation water, mainly in Slovenia. So the idea is to get a much better understanding as to what is in the water in terms of plant viruses. Are there any differences depending on which water you use for irrigation? So are you using municipality water or some channel nearby or rainwater? And we would also like to understand in what way do these viruses then impact your plants, or do your plants somehow impact the water? On the other hand, when the pandemic started, we jumped very quickly into different areas of research related to it, and I'm working on the project that is looking into the occurrence of the SARS-CoV-2 virus in wastewater in several locations in Slovenia, and we're hoping to help the epidemiologists with the data we have.
Mm-hmm. So why are you specifically looking for plant viruses in water, and more generally, what is the connection of water to plant viruses?
Yes, so plant viruses are very important pathogens for crops and agriculture overall. They are as it would be, really stable in environment. And they can be transported over long distances through the environment. One of the means of transportation is water, which is why we are looking into it. Water systems overall are really well connected between one another. And it is very possible for a virus to travel from wastewater through treatment facility for wastewater back into nature and gradually through different systems end up in the irrigation water that is used on fields. From laboratory experiments, we know that it is possible for plants to get infected with viruses through water. However, we don't have solid proof that this is what actually happens in nature. And this is where this project comes into place. So we would like to prove this hypothesis in, let's say, realistic conditions on fields. So over the course of 3 years, we're going to look into what is already in water and what is in plants that are on those sites, which irrigation water we're analyzing. And to be fair, this is important because at the moment there is a really strong initiative in EU to reuse wastewater for irrigation purposes. But there is a huge lack of knowledge, especially in terms of plant viruses. How would this then affect the plants?
Paul, you are also working with plant viruses. So could you maybe briefly explain what are plant viruses, how they function, and why it is important, maybe also in relation to what you're working on, to study them?
So most of us hear a lot about viruses these days. So just as in humans, this virus, these microbes infect plants and cause them to be sick at any growth stage. Across all environments around the globe. So these microbes are really extremely small. They are about a few hundred nanometers and are composed only of its genome and a protein coat. So that's how simple they are. And I sometimes refer to them as ultra microscopic parasites, you know, because they use or they hijack the plants or the host protein production and genome replication machinery for their proliferation. That's what they do when they enter the cell and proliferate in the tissues of the host. And also, I call them the ultra microscopic hitchhikers, you know, as they primarily thrive on mobile insect pests for their spread and infection. And as what Olivera mentioned, also in wastewaterways, so they can be transferred across long distances through these channels.
And as I understand, you are working specifically with plant viruses that infect tomatoes. So why is that especially important?
For tomatoes, everyone's favorite, I guess. It is the biggest industry among all vegetables and fruits around the globe. It is traded at around $80 billion globally. But the industry is afflicted by pests and diseases that somehow pulls down its growth. So in that way, viruses specifically, they can cause 25% or a quarter of emerging diseases in crops. That includes tomato. And despite its impact and the global diversity of these viruses is still understudied. So we don't know a lot about them, as Olivera mentioned. We wanted to contribute to this study to uncover the diversity and also develop monitoring practices for these emerging diseases, especially in tomato. Right now, we are looking at viruses that can be lurking in nearby weeds, you know, and also in wastewaters, in greenhouses and fields.
Olivera, you mentioned that you are also now analyzing wastewater for traces of the new coronavirus. So maybe if you can explain a bit about that. What have you learned from studying wastewater? Have you learned anything important in relation to studying how this virus spreads or works?
Yes, so during the first wave of the epidemic in Slovenia, we were able to develop and set up this new method. So now during the second wave, we are able to consistently get results. So we are detecting the genomic material or SARS-CoV-2 virus in wastewater in all of the locations that we are testing, which are covering quite a large area in Slovenia. Unfortunately, the methodology that we are using does not actually give us the information whether the genomic material we are detecting is infectious or not. However, the main idea behind this testing is not really to establish if the virus is infectious or not. It is to prove that this method can be used in general monitoring, which will then help the government and the other institutions to better assess the efficacy of the measurements that they are implementing, such as the lockdowns or wearing masks or certain things like that. At the moment, we are collaborating with colleagues from the Faculty of Mathematics in order to better model the data in this direction.
Have you noticed with an increase in the number of measured infections in the country, do you also find an increase in tracing the virus in the wastewater?
Yes, just looking at the data without any, let's say, additional analysis, we are able to see trends that work together. So as the number of infected people increases, so does the amount of virus particles in wastewater, which is expected, and we are really happy that the methodology provides good resolution.
What do you think? You said that the virus is responsible for the plaguing of tomatoes is like a big problem on production of tomatoes in general. But what do you think like is the most emerging problem in the field of tomato viruses?
Yeah, for tomato viruses, there are quite some. Currently, the most threatening is tomato brown rugose fruit disease. And this has been found in all continents, well, except for Antarctica and the frozen regions. And also other long-standing ones, such as tomato mosaic, tomato spotted wilt, and tomato leaf curl diseases. These are still unsolved. We really don't have any effective approaches to counteract emerging viruses aside from plant disease resistance, breeding for plant disease resistance. But in line with my work, we wanted to gather baseline diversity data in agroecosystems for virus and or the virome. And then we want to help in the future to easily predict virus emergence and do preventive measures as early as possible. It is always better to prevent. You know, prevention is still way better than cure, even in plants.
Maybe a more general question is for both of you. What would you say is an important thing that you learned during your work on the current project?
I would say that it is that there are no small contributions. So if you think about it, I'm sure that everyone kind of knows that, but since I started working at the National Institute, it really became apparent that even though this is my PhD, it is not just my work, and that a lot of other people are making my life so much easier just by doing their job. And being a part of a team like that is a really, I would say, almost a unique experience.
Yeah, I totally agree on that. Actually, even though we are just in the second year of the program, having a great team makes it so smooth, even in the first year. And I realized this one major lesson, especially because of the pandemic. You know, I have known this for a while now, especially during my previous work. It is the value of teamwork, really. I might add that Charles Darwin said before that in the long history of humankind, those who learn to collaborate and improvise most effectively have prevailed. So there's really no way to go, especially in academia, but to collaborate and improvise. And during these crazy times, even most especially during these times, it's very important for us to be creative and to adapt to each team dynamics. And although it will certainly take time to figure out, but it is worthwhile.
Okay, thank you again, Olivera and Paul, for being with us.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
S tem zaključujemo današnji intervju, ki sem ga pripravil Arne.
Noč ima svojo moč.
Pri čemer noč definiramo kot odsotnost sončne svetlobe, do katere dokaj redno prihaja zaradi vrtenja zemeljske oble zadnjih let, moč pa kot fizikalno količino določeno kot delo opravljeno v enoti časa.
Hvala. Pogovori z znanstvenimi raziskovalkami in raziskovalci v sklopu projekta Noč ima svojo moč. Vsak petek do Evropske noči raziskovalcev 27. novembra. V evropskem projektu sodelujejo Inštitut Jožef Štefan, Kemijski inštitut, Nacionalni inštitut za biologijo, Tehnički muzej Slovenije in koordinator projekta Hiša eksperimentov,